Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. I have a great show for you today. Andriana Natsoulis from NOFA New York will be my guest on today. She'll be joining us in just a little bit, but first, of course, I want to go over some things in the news, tell you some things going on, and share my recipe with you. First, I want to share with you that this past weekend, I participated in an art performance piece. I know this is not really food-related, although it, in a small way, is. It was an art performance piece called I Want a President, and it originated by an artist, Zoe Leonard, in 1992. She wrote this document of I Want a President. You know, it starts off with I Want a Dyke for President and continues on and on. It's a political piece of, you know, what she was hoping to see in a president that would represent many of the people that the president is supposed to represent, which right now the candidates that we have running for president don't really embody that. So this piece now has traveled around the world in many different countries being read out loud. And my daughter, Saisha Grayson, who is a curator and working on her dissertation right now in art history, she decided to bring this piece to the U.S. to do in Washington, D.C., in front of the White House. And what it was a collective reading. There were over 100 people there. There were many workshops leading up to this reading, workshops where people recreated a current document that would represent the type of president they would like to see. Still called I Want a President, and for 1 hour straight, we read the original document that was written by Zoe Leonard, and then the new created document that was a collective piece that people worked on over many workshops that took place in New York and D.C. And it was so moving. I have to tell you, it was just not only to be surrounded by everybody reading the same document, but to put forth into the universe and to voice it out loud what we would like to see in a president was just really moving. And everybody who was there also got to write what they would like to see in their president. Of course, I wrote, I would like to see a president that recognized food access, food security as a right, a human right for everybody, and also someone that would fix our food system. My sister, who was a midwife, wrote, I want a president who experienced a home birth. So everybody could personalize what they wanted to see in the president. But it was a really powerful piece, and they are bringing it back to New York City to perform up on the High Line on Monday, October 31st. I know that's Halloween, but it's at 6 o'clock, so you could come to this reading from 6 to 7 and then go to the Halloween parade. So that's what I'm going to be doing for Halloween. I hope some of you will join us. There's a Facebook page that you can find if you go to I Want a President. But it was really a moving piece, and I'm really excited that they are bringing it to New York because it was just too good to just do that one time. I'm also now gearing up for Thanksgiving. I can't believe Thanksgiving is around the corner, but as many of you know, every year for the past 22 years, I partner with the River Fund Food Pantry to create a Thanksgiving feast for the homeless. And these are people that, everyone's not homeless, but they are certainly needy enough that they're willing to wait hours online to get a Thanksgiving meal. These are clients of the food pantry. The food pantry has a movable pantry that goes into Rufus King Park every other week, and we time it so that this is always the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I will have over, in the course of the long weekend, over 100 people that will come through my homestead to help cook and prepare this Thanksgiving feast. We typically cook about 60 turkeys here. I know I'm mostly vegetarian, but on occasion, like Thanksgiving for the homeless, I do change my rules a little, and we cook turkeys. We get the turkeys donated. People can donate turkeys. Church ministry, they donate a whole bunch of turkeys to me for the past 10 years or so. And some people actually donate already cooked turkeys. And then I get local local suppliers to donate a case of potatoes, a case of sweet potatoes. Anyway, we pull it all together. I actually rent a refrigerated truck that sits in my driveway for the 4 days as we make everything. And it is quite an event. So if you haven't participated before and you would like to, on my website I do have a sign-up sheet where you can sign up for a shift. I have organized it that way so that I try to spread out my help so everybody's not here all at the same time. But it's a really amazing event, and I just can't believe how quick a year comes around, though. That's the thing that's really disturbing. It used to feel like I had a full year in between one Thanksgiving and the next, and now it only feels like 6 months. But it is a year, and so we are gearing up. So please check that out if you would like. Lots of things going on in and around the city that you may be interested in. Tonight, I am participating in the Coalition for Healthy School Foods annual gala. This is an event that they put on every year. This year it's called Let Your Palate Be Your Ballot. It's an organization that is really trying to raise awareness about the health of plant-based foods and trying to introduce plant-based foods into public schools. And so they actually have done that. There's even two fully plant-based schools in Queens, New York, that only is serving vegetarian food. But the idea is to really just have that option there so that people that are vegetarian have that option, people that want to eat healthier, people that follow halal or kosher, they can eat this food as well. So it really takes care of a lot of food issues. And it's really the healthiest way. So I'm really happy to participate in this event. You can go to the Coalition for Healthy School Foods website to buy tickets. I know there's still tickets available. It's from 6:30 to 9:30 on Central Park West. And so if you're there, I will see you tonight. There's a couple other things in competition with it. Edible is having their edible escape tonight also down on the Lower East Side. And you can find out more about that event. And there's also a beer glass event taking place at the Six Point Brewery and Urban Glass Studios are making beer glasses for everybody. And so that's another event that should be great. Food Day is coming up October 24th. And there's a lot of different events going on for Food Day, so check out the national website for foodday.org. I will be participating in a Food Day event on Monday, October 24th, at the Port Washington Library, where they will be screening the film Fresh, which is a wonderful documentary, followed by a discussion led by Patty Woods from Grassroots Environmental Education. And then I'll be doing a cooking demo following that. So that's from 7 to 9 on Monday the 24th. But before that, actually, on this Sunday, October 23rd, we still have space available at the yoga retreat and farm-to-table cooking class that's taking place here at IE Green. Lorelei Henry is the yoga teacher. She's been teaching Kripalu yoga for over 20 years. And then I'll be doing a vegan, gluten-free cooking class. We still have some vegetables that we can harvest right from the on-site organic garden. And what I don't have, I will be purchasing. But then we will be cooking up a storm in the kitchen. So hopefully some of you can join us for that. Long Island Restaurant Week is going on from October 30th to November 6th. So that's a fun thing to take advantage of, to check out some restaurants that are sometimes a little bit more pricey than you would like to spend. This is an opportunity to check out some of those. Also on October 25th, Food Frontier is a documentary film that's going to be screened at Hunter College, and it chronicles food projects across the country, and that should be a great event. November 3rd, the River Fund New York, the organization that I do the Thanksgiving with, they are having their annual Silver Anniversary Gala. It's their 25th year. They're honoring Gwyneth Paltrow. And that will be on Park Avenue in New York City. You can go to the River Fund New York's website to purchase tickets to that. It's a bit pricey, but it is their annual event where they really raise a lot of funds to help feed the hungry people in New York. So the River Fund's an unbelievable organization. So check out their website anyway just to learn about them. Lots and lots of more events you will find on my website. So please check it out. I don't want to take the time and go through them all now, but there's a lot. So check those out. I also want to talk to you about some things going on that you can participate in, some take actions that I always list on my website or in my newsletter. I send out a weekly newsletter, so if you don't get that, you can register for that on my website. But I really call out to everybody who's listening to really become active citizens and sign petitions that come through. Right now there's, you know, petitions on my website to stop the one of the many pipelines that are taking place, and a big merger that's, you know, also set to happen between Enbridge and Spectra Energy. You know, there's so many mergers going on. I mean, you've heard about DuPont with Monsanto and Dow and Bayer. I mean, there's just so many different mergers that are looking to happen, and we really have to protect these because, you know, our food supply could end up being controlled just by three mega corporations, and that would just be devastating. We want to keep biodiversity in our fruits and vegetables. We want to keep choices. We want to have choices to eat non-GMO food. We want transparency. There's so many things we want, and if corporations are in charge, we won't get them. So it's up to all of us to stay active and to sign these petitions. There's also a petition to ban glyphosate, which I've talked about a lot, how that's killing the bees and the butterflies. So please check out my website. Say no to GMOs is another one. I mean, we just really have to all become active citizens to try to keep some sense of decency on our food supply and our environment. You know, the fact that the environment, again, we had another horrendous debate last night, which was just embarrassing to watch, painful to watch. But again, you know, energy wasn't really talked about. Our food system certainly wasn't talked about. There's so many important issues that are just not getting the type of attention that they need. Instead, we're still worrying about sex ordeals and emails. So please become active citizens. If you're already active citizens, thank you. But take part, because these petitions really need some signatures, and I'm calling to all of you to please participate. Okay, so now let me share my recipe with you. This is seitan oreganata with broccoli rabe and sun-dried tomatoes, and I served it over brown rice pasta. Of course, seitan is gluten. You can substitute tofu if you are on a gluten-free diet. But seitan was just the perfect thing for this, and I had some in my refrigerator. But, you know, I still use brown rice pasta more often than wheat pasta just because I think it's healthier. Okay, so I started with 1 8-ounce package of seitan, which I cut thin on the diagonal, some olive oil, 1 tablespoon chopped garlic, 1 tablespoon tomato paste, 1 teaspoon of dry oregano, 1 teaspoon of dry basil, and 2 tablespoons white wine. And that was for the seitan. And then I needed 1 large bunch of broccoli rabe. And it's so rare. What inspired this was actually coming across some organic broccoli rabe at the store. It's such a treat to find organic broccoli rabe. I usually grow it in my garden, and this year I, for some reason, didn't, and I really missed it, so I won't make that mistake again next year. So anyway, 1 large bunch of broccoli rabe, olive oil, 2 tablespoons chopped garlic, 3 twigs of fresh oregano, 1 teaspoon dry basil, 2 tablespoons sun-dried tomatoes in oil, 2 cups cherry tomatoes cut in half, 1/4 cup of white wine, salt and pepper to taste, and 2 tablespoons of pine nuts, which are optional, that I put on top as garnish. So I started by slicing the seitan, and then I laid it out on a dish towel to dry it out. And if you're using tofu, you would do the same thing. And then in a wok, I sautéed the seitan in olive oil until it started to brown. Then I added the garlic, and I cooked it for about another minute. Then I pushed the seitan to the sides of the wok so they weren't in the heat. And then I added the tomato paste right to the center and let that brown a little and cook. And that really brings out the flavor in the tomato paste. And I let that cook for a few minutes, and then I added the white wine to it along with the oregano and basil. So kind of made a little slurry of the tomato paste and the white wine. And then I tossed the seitan into the center of the wok. So I mixed it up with the tomato paste and the herbs and cooked that for a few minutes so that that flavor could be absorbed into the seitan. And then I removed the seitan from the wok and just set it aside while I cooked my broccoli rabe. So then I put some olive oil again on the bottom of the wok, and I added the broccoli rabe. I cut the broccoli rabe into about 2-inch pieces, so they were large chunks. And then when the oil was hot, I add the broccoli rabe and the garlic to the wok, and I cooked that for about 2 minutes until the broccoli rabe's really bright green in color. Added the white wine, the sun-dried tomatoes, and the cherry tomatoes. Now, the sun-dried tomatoes actually were my cherry tomatoes that I had dried in the oven. I had so many that's a great way of preserving an extra large crop of cherry tomatoes. But I store them dry, and then before using them, I soak them overnight in some olive oil. And that infuses the olive oil with the flavor, and it also softens the cherry tomatoes. So those are the sun-dried tomatoes that I use. And I let that cook down for a few minutes with the broccoli rabe. Then I added the oregano and the basil and tossed that. If you don't have fresh oregano, dried oregano is fine. I returned the seitan to the wok and mixed that up with the broccoli rabe. And then I cooked the pasta according to the directions. I tossed the pasta with a little bit of olive oil, put it into a large pasta bowl, and then I put the seitan right on top. And just for presentation purposes, I didn't mix it all up until I served it. So I served the pasta first in the bowl with the sauce right on top, and it was really beautiful. And then garnished it with some of those pine nuts, and that's it. Really great, very fast, quick, easy recipe for the middle of the week, and just comes together just so nicely. So now it's my pleasure to introduce my guest of the week. Andriana Natsoulis is the executive director at NOFA New York. She has been an activist for over 2 decades. She's worked in various organizations from Greenpeace to Food and Water Watch to the Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance. She's coordinated global food movements both nationally and internationally. Been on many boards, steering committees, and has been really working to protect fishing rights and trade agreements. And she works to build alliances, and NOFA New York is so lucky to have her. She is also an author. She wrote a book called Food Voices, Stories from the People Who Feed Us, which explores the movement towards food sovereignty across 5 countries. And the second edition is going to be released this coming spring. And I'm thrilled to have Andriana on with me. Andriana, are you there?
I am. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. It's a pleasure to have you. And welcome to NOFA. They are
Thank
lucky
you.
To have you.
I'm lucky to be there. It's a great organization, wonderful people.
Uh-huh. Well, that's always the best when both sides feel the same. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for those listeners that might not be familiar with NOFA, can you please just share what NOFA is and what sets NOFA apart from some of the other food organizations that are around in New York?
Sure. So NOFA New York, it's the Northeast, 35 years now, nearly. We've seen so many other organizations pop up across the state and the country. And it's been really wonderful for our organization to work with them and watch them grow and provide a consistent, stable, historical perspective of the food movement here in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many others, but I feel like NOFA really kind of works both from the sustainable food movement, also, you know, they really
national organic standards. So we get our boots dirty on the farms, and we get out there and we provide educational assistance to our farmers, and then we also work with consumers to make sure they have access to healthy organic food.
So is that the second wing, working with the consumers?
We have a whole host of outreach and educational programs. So we work with farmers on educational programs. We work with consumers. We advocate for good policy both at the state level and the national level. So we have, that is, when you think of NOFA and the programs we offer, it's across the board to the farmers and the consumers and the gardeners. The other wing specifically is very focused on certifying farms. So they have a very specific goal and mission. And as the consumer demand for organics continues to rise, the number of certified farms continues to rise. And actually, New York, it has the third highest number of certified organic farms in the country.
Wow. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And what about on Long Island? I'm located on Long Island. I know for a couple of years there was no representation for NOFA on Long Island. I don't know exactly what happened. Do you know if that's started up again?
Well, the president of our board lives in Long Island. He's out in Riverhead. And
who's that?
So Phil Barbaro, and he has an organic farm out in Riverhead. And we did at one time have a pretty strong regional presence with events and activities on Long Island. And in the last few years, I would say, those regional activities have diminished. But one of our goals for the future, for the next year, is to increase very specific regional presence so that we can still, you know, we have specific events with our regional within New York State, obviously, within very specific events to bring the regions together and share, break bread together and have a joint event. So we're really looking forward to reestablishing a very strong regional presence and increase our member activity and involvement.
Good, because I know there's so many organic farms down here, and it would be really lovely to have them be a little bit more unified together. And
mm-hmm.
I know,
mm-hmm.
I think NOFA did that for us before.
Excellent. Yes. So, as I mentioned, our president is based in Riverhead, and his farm is called Biophilia Organic Farm. And we actually, another member of our board is based in Manitowoc. And so we have presence all throughout the state. Sometimes you don't even realize it.
Right. Well, we want to realize it, so that's...
I know.
That's what's so good about you being there.
Yeah.
So can you share with us some of the programs that you're working on, or, basically what is the most important program, I guess, that you have for farmers today?
One of our most important programs for farmers is the networking component of our education team. So we have a very strong education team that covers all sorts of different issues that farmers face. So we specialize in specific crops and in fruits and vegetables and in dairy and livestock. We also provide on-farm technical training in those areas, as well as a telephone hotline for farmers if they're coming up against, any specific questions or anything a little bit more general. We provide our farmers with marketing tools to be able to build their businesses. And we also support beginning farmers. It's really hard for beginning farmers to have the knowledge, the technical knowledge of being a successful organic farmer. And then there's the whole access to land and resources that a lot of beginning farmers find to be big obstacles starting out. And so one of our programs is supporting beginning farmers to ensure that they are they're successful and they stay on the land and they produce wonderful food.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as I mentioned, our certification program is essential.
Right. Now, for beginning farmers, does NOFA participate with any of the land alliances? You know, I know that I've had some people on that have talked about programs where people who have land that are willing to let farmers use it, they can get a tax break mm-hmm. because all of a sudden now it can be their land can be looked at as farmland instead of just pretty.
Right.
Do you participate in any of those kind of programs to help farmers or help wannabe farmers get land?
We don't actually go through that. We don't act as a land conservancy program, but we do partner with them. We network with them. Earlier this week, I was at a meeting with several land conservancy organizations that focus on the Hudson Valley, which is where I am based. And so there is, that's a very specific niche, and there's so many great organizations that really focus on that and focus on all the tax benefits that these landowners could receive. And so we partner with them, and we let them do the heavy lifting on that side.
Uh-huh. Right. You can't do it all.
No. We'd right. love to, but no. And they're great organizations, and they have history, and they have all the knowledge necessary. So so the best way is to partner with them, work together, build on each other's expertise.
Sure. So you have all that going for the farmers. Can you share with us what programs you have going for the consumers?
We have one of our most important programs moving forward is ensuring that all consumers have access to healthy organic foods. And we do provide a subsidized farm share for people who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford the bounty of a community-supported agriculture program. And so we are really looking to ensure that all consumers have access to this food and providing support to people who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I do think there's probably people listening that might want to take advantage of that. How does it work?
Well, you can go to our website, which is NOFANY.org, and there is an opportunity online to donate to our Fair Share program to ensure that everybody has access. And we also are looking to partner with some other ally organizations, and we are exploring the possibility of health insurance companies providing a subsidy for CSA programs so that, you know, it improves people's health. Eat healthy, you're going to live a healthier life. And so that's another program that we're looking to initiate with partners in the region.
Oh, that makes so much sense. The same way, I guess, you know, if you join a health club, right? Insurance
exactly.
companies help pay that.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
So that's the primary wellness benefit that a lot of insurance companies offer. And, of course, wellness goes beyond going to the gym and really has a lot to do with what we're putting into our bodies.
Of course. Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Good idea. Was that your idea?
That was in the works when I arrived, and I just think, yeah, it's an excellent idea, and I'd really want to see this flourish and work across the state.
Sure. It makes so much sense, especially since so many of us pay these enormous amounts for insurance and get very little benefit from them because, mm-hmm. knock on wood, we stay healthy. But, you know, it would be nice to be able to get a little bit of benefit like that from it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is some of the policy issues that NOFA is looking at coming into this next year?
There are so many policy issues that we track, and we have to, you know, stay on top of everything to ensure that our food system is protected. Of course, we always will be maintaining organic integrity and ensuring that the organic standards are upheld. And then we are working to prevent the expansion of emerging technologies and genetically modified organisms. So here in New York, in Geneva, New York, there is an experimental genetically engineered diamondback moth. And it is the very first worldwide open-air release of this genetically engineered diamondback moth in Geneva, New York, is where this planned release will take place. As of now, it is expected to, not expected, but the plan is for these to be released in late spring, and of course, we're working to prevent that from happening. And there's unknown health and environmental impacts of what this would do to consumers, to farms, what kind of contamination these genetically engineered diamondback moths may present. So,
can I just ask, why are they doing that? I mean, why are they trying to engineer a diamondback moth?
It is, I don't know the details of how this originated, but, you know, not we, but the industry is looking to control so many different organisms, all the genetically modified experiments going on with mosquitoes, which, okay, we can understand that the rationale behind that is to control various diseases. But it is a mechanism to be able to control nature and to be able to control the any organism that may potentially negatively impact crops. You know, sometimes there are these organisms that could provide a detrimental impact to crops, but there's no proof that these diamondback moths are going to be beneficial to conventional agriculture. There's no proof that these moths are not going to actually do the reverse and contaminate our crops. So the very origin, you know, is it comes from this desire to control nature without knowing the unforeseen consequences. So we'll be staying on track and working very hard to prevent that release. Of course, the Farm Bill is going to be coming up for reauthorization in 2018, and so everybody is, you know, pulling together and developing our Farm Bill agenda that really supports farmers and eaters, ensures that our organic farmers and sustainable family farms have a level playing field in the world of food production, and to ensure that consumers have access to healthy food. So that's something else that we're gearing up to. So 2017, we'll be thinking about that quite a bit and working with our partners and developing a Farm Bill proposal agenda. We also will be looking at options, and this may end up being through the Farm Bill, to support sustainable and organic farming and carbon farming incentives, healthy soil farming that can actually mitigate climate change or provide resilience, resistance to climate change. And so we're looking at funding incentives to really support these farmers who are doing the right thing and who are taking care of the soil and taking care of the environment. So that's another one of our policy issues coming up in 2017.
Uh-huh. I was recently reading about... you mentioned the Organic Standards Board and, you know, the problems with the Organic Standards Board and, you know, how it's constantly being challenged and, you know, they're not upholding the spaces for, you know, farmers and consumers that are supposed to be sitting on the board, that, you know, people big in Monsanto and stuff have been infiltrating. Can you talk a little bit about that? Do you know about what's going on there?
Well, any time that there's an opening on the any of these boards, National Organic Standards Board, you know, the community, the public is allowed to provide comments and provide recommendations for people to sit on the board. It is supposed to be a public process, but of course, as unfortunately we know, that a lot of our government is controlled by money and big business, and so unfortunately those that do have those resources have a larger say in how our government is run, and so the best that we can do is make sure that the system's as transparent as possible and that we are able to provide input in the form of comments and testimonies whenever there is an opportunity, and to really fight for the integrity of organics, which goes to each individual who's sitting on the board. And we do work with a national coalition on organics, the National Organic Coalition. So there are organizations across the country really working to ensure that whoever sits on the board is not there to promote the benefits of companies such as Monsanto or Bayer now.
Right, right. Yeah, because that's such a problem. I mean, if we can't depend on the National Organic Standards Board to hold up the standards of organic and the integrity of the organization, then, you know, then what can we trust, you know? I mean, you know, we can't get these GMOs labeled. I always will tell people, you know, the only safeguard you have is buying organic. That's the one way you can guarantee that you're not getting genetically modified ingredients, you know, but then, you know, they push to allow synthetic things into our food that, you know, really shouldn't qualify as organic. And I know it's questionable whether it's the carrageenan or, you know, some other synthetic things that are, you know, really shouldn't be in there.
Right, that's correct. And again, you know, it is a process, and the only way that we just can't give up, you know, even if it can be a little disheartening to see all these efforts to really compromise the integrity of organics, there is a public process system in place, and we ensure that we get our comments in, that we're up to speed with everything that's going on, and that we make sure that that the USDA and DC and the National Organic Standards Board knows that they are being watched. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you have so many petitions and action alerts on your webpage, and occasionally we also will send out similar actions to get people more involved. And if you go to our website, nofinny.org, you can receive more information on some of these policy issues. And we also will give updates on what's going on with the National Organic Standards Board and who's sitting on it and what you can do to make sure that your voice is heard.
Great, great. Yeah, it's so important, you know, for everybody to kind of take this on, because it's a big problem, and, you know, the big companies have so much money behind them, and we don't. The only thing we have behind us is the numbers of people. And so if everybody that cares does something about it, we have a chance, you know? That's what I like to say. Anyway,
yeah.
Andriana, let's take a couple-minute break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some of the challenges facing the organic industry and what NOFA's working on with that. So
excellent.
Everyone listening, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening listening to PRN, number one for progressive minds.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Tune in to The Living Well Show, which will air on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN, where we will offer the latest insights on natural health care, environmental issues, and all of the other circumstances that help us live well and be well. Join us. We are airing on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. on PRN.
Let's go into the...
This is PRN.FM. Tune in anytime for the latest in progressive news and ideas. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And my guest today is Andriana Natsoulis, the executive director from NOFA New York. Andriana, you with me?
I am.
Great. So can you share what you see as one of the biggest challenges facing the organic and the agroecology movements?
Well, as you mentioned, we keep seeing more and more mergers and takeovers of big business. And so it's not only making the Monsantos of the world stronger to push forward their agenda, but it's also impacting the organic world. It must have been 2 months ago, White Wave, which owns Horizon, merged with Danone, who is also Danone Yogurt, Danone Food Corporation. And Danone is involved with Stonyfield. They own 85%. And so what that does is it creates an uneven playing field for the organic industry. That means that they're going to be controlling the price of milk. This is an example that I'm giving you. The price of milk for organic farmers. And so, the organic market is a niche market. But now with these mergers, it's not going to be as much of a niche market because these companies are going to be able to control the price of conventional milk, for example, and organic milk. And so, that is one of our biggest challenges, is watching these mergers happen at such a high level. These are, some of them are international corporations, and it affects the price that our farmers receive. And it's already hard enough to, make ends meet on a farm, and by these mergers, it's going to make it even more difficult. And so that's one of, one of the big challenges facing the organic food community, the organic food movement. And we just really need to, in response to that, we really need to be able to strengthen our regional food systems and make sure that people are, purchasing as directly as they can from the farmer, cutting out the middlemen, and really strengthening our regional networks, food networks. Otherwise, these mergers can control our entire food system, which I think you had mentioned at the beginning of the show. And, when you control the food, you control the people. And so we really have to be able to build our food systems from real farmers with real food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary, all these mergers. Whatever happened to the antitrust laws,
I know, really.
I thought those are set up to protect this.
Well, they have been co-opted to some degree, and they are pretty weak. There have been quite a few efforts to strengthen these antitrust legislations, but they just haven't been as effective as they originally were intended to. And there have been efforts in the past to have the Department of Justice investigate some of these mergers. And unfortunately, they side with the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And there are organizations in the country who are pushing for stronger antitrust legislation and are pushing for the Department of Justice to investigate some of these mergers. And, we need to strengthen and make accountable, just as you were mentioning about the National Organic Standards Board. We have got to make sure that the government is accountable and they do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's just hope.
Well, programs like yours help to educate people, and education is such an essential aspect of keeping everybody accountable and informed.
Thank you.
But yeah.
So, is NOFA addressing the issues with climate change and how that's affecting organic farming, and any ideas for helping farmers to deal with climate change?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned when we were talking briefly about policy, we are looking into getting incentives for carbon farming, soil carbon restoration, and putting the carbon back into the soil, which is more technical than I am going to get into today. But mm-hmm. there is quite a bit of information on the soil carbon restoration, and actually NOFA Mass, which is the NOFA organization in Massachusetts, has some really great information on their website about how carbon farming can really capture the carbon, mitigate climate change to some degree. It would take an awful lot of people doing this, though, to have some global effects. But there's also been extensive research that indicates that organic farming, diversified farming, agroecological farming benefits the planet, and it is more resilient to climate change than conventional farming. So, for example, we've experienced a drought this year in New York, and there are several counties in New York State that have been designated drought counties, which means that the farms are able to receive some funding from the federal government to recoup some of the losses that they experienced due to the drought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, organic farms, there's been research that indicates that organic yields on farms have a 30% higher yield in drought farms than conventional farms. So that means that organic farms are more resilient to our changing climate. So not only can we use specific practices like soil carbon restoration to mitigate climate change, but at the same time, organic farming is resistant in itself to some of these negative impacts that we're feeling from climate change. So it's really the only way to move forward in this world where we're living right now. And then, of course, there's just a lot. There's so many other kinds of sustainable farming that has, higher yields, higher output than monocultures and conventional farming, and there are a lot less chemicals that are put into the soil and into our air and into our water that then is detrimental to our consumer health, our environmental health, our air quality, and moving forward with organic farming and agroecological farming techniques is really the only way that we're going to be able to continue feeding ourselves in a healthy way and give back to the planet.
Mm-hmm. What is NOFA's take on hydroponic farming? I know you talk to you know, old-time organic farmers, and they say it's not organic. I mean, organic's all about the soil, and if you don't have soil, it can't be organic. Where does NOFA stand in that? Because I know, you know, there's so much investment going on into greenhouses for hydroponics, and, you know, what's your take on that?
Well, exactly as you said, you know, it has to do with the soil. We're not just producing food on a mass scale. We're taking care of the earth. We're taking care of the soil. We're part of the ecosystem. And, you know, right now the National Organic Standard Board is reviewing options to allow for organic certification of various hydroponic crops. And we have not endorsed that because we feel that there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered.
Mm-hmm. So as of right now, we don't know if they're moving forward on that, whether they're going to approve hydroponics as being able to be organic, or?
There are a lot of efforts, and we're right in the middle of, currently we're actually right in the middle of an open comment period to be able to give input. So we'll see how that goes in the next few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's scary because, again, you also don't know what they're feeding through that water system, what they're feeding the plants.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little scary, I think.
It is very scary. All of we have absolutely no idea what chemicals are going in to some of this food production. And unfortunately, we just don't learn from our mistakes. We find this chemical causes that, and this chemical causes this. And with, you know, the rise of cancer, which obviously is from a whole host of different reasons, but we just don't learn from our mistakes. And, you know, so the only way that we can take responsibility is by supporting organic farming and say that we're not going to participate in constantly putting more chemicals into our environment.
Right. Yeah, I think we, you know, again, I know I have some things on my website, as I'm sure you do, to help educate people about so many of these issues that we really need to stay diligent on top of,
mm-hmm.
to let the people that are making the decisions know that we're out here and that we care.
Exactly. Well, I was also so impressed at the beginning of your show today, all of the events that are happening. And if we wanted to, we could go to something every single night. And so
yes,
there's a lot, you know, there's just so much information out there. There's so much networking going on. And it's just our responsibility to participate.
Right, right. So why don't you share any upcoming events that NOFA has going on?
Well, we are coming up to our 35th annual winter conference. So 35 years, we bring together farmers and consumers and eaters and gardeners and anybody who's interested in organics. And we'll have that conference in Saratoga Springs.
It's a great conference. I've been to it before.
Excellent. Well, I hope you can make this year's.
Uh-huh.
This year's theme is Long Live the Farmer, Diversity and Biodiversity. And that's January 22nd to the 27th, and you can find more information on our website.
Great, great. And it's called Long Live the Farmer is the theme?
Yep, this year's theme, Long Live the Farmer, Diversity and Biodiversity.
Well, that's great. I'll definitely help advertise it as we get closer to that. And, Andreanna, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so rewarding and informative with what NOFA is doing, and I do hope that we rejuvenate the chapter down here on Long Island. I've been
mm-hmm.
missing it. So thank you, and
excellent.
Thank you for all the work that you are doing to help make the planet a better place.
Thank you, Bhavani. It's really been wonderful speaking with you today.
You're very welcome. Everyone out there, thank you for joining us. It's been wonderful to have you here, and I'll see you again next week. Bye for now.